I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So good to see all of you in the house of the Lord. A good number of us have traveled, and we are very thankful that they are back this morning with us. May the Lord continue to bless you and to strengthen you. And as you serve Him, we pray that the Lord's power and might may be upon you, and when you have to travel again, may the Lord grant you mercy. Now this morning, our subject is beware of two common spiritual pitfalls. Of course, we encounter many kinds of spiritual pitfalls, but this morning I'll just pick on only two pitfalls, namely hypocrisy and the fear of man. Now I'd like us to look at Luke chapter 12, verse 1. Luke chapter 12, verse 1. I read this for you, Luke chapter 12 and verse 1, and you keep your finger on this page because I'll be coming back to this passage over and over again. Chapter 12 and verse 1. In the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trod one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. So the Lord Jesus Christ spoke to his disciples first of all, and then presumably he spoke to the crowd next. And the Lord Jesus Christ says here, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Now the crowd was great, and people were trampling one upon another. And the Lord began to speak, as we said, to his disciples first of all, and then presumably next to the crowd. Now, if you have such a large following, what would you not do? Or what would you do? Yes. Now, if you are a politician, I guess the thing that you want to do will be to capitalize on the situation, to cause people to give you greater support. And so you would say things like that, oh, I promise to carry out all the things that I promise you, and even more, so that all your needs will be met. And those who have got worldly objectives will want to have their popularity increase, and such people will capitalize on situations like this. One time I was talking to my niece in Singapore, I think I did mention this before. I asked her why she was attending this mega church in Singapore. I said, why do you go to such a church? And then she paused for a while, and then she said, I feel good going to that church. I feel good going to that church. And why would she not feel good? When the messages that were preached in that church focus on health and wealth. Yes, the gospel that they preach is the prosperity gospel. Nothing is said against sin. Nothing. Nothing or hardly anything is said about the blood of Christ and the need for repentance. So people going to that church feel very, very good. And would not the preacher preaching such a message be very, very popular? Of course you will be very, very popular. And if you ever speak against such preachers to those people who are going to such churches, they are very, very protective of their pastors and their preachers. But my dear friends, the Lord did none of these things in regards to gaining popularity to himself. No, my dear friends, the Lord always spoke the truth. Yes, and many a time he would say things that were very difficult or very hard for people to accept. For example, when inviting people to come to follow him, this was what he said to them. He wanted people to understand the cause of discipleship. And so he said this to them, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Now such a saying is very, very hard for people to accept. Yes, this kind of a discipleship is very, very hard to accept. Yes, but the Lord will say the truth. Now, he warned the people, the crowd, in this instance, about the false teachers of the day, even the Pharisees. And often he would denounce their sins without sparing any words at all. And on this case, in this instance, of course, he was talking about the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. Yes, the sin which the Pharisees were very, very much noted for. His words were harsh. The words of the Lord Jesus Christ were harsh. Why? Was it because he hated the Pharisees? Was it because he hated the people? No, my dear friends, he truly loved them. He was doing the work of a spiritual physician. He came not to call the righteous to repent, but he came and called sinners to repent. He came to heal those who were spiritually sick. And so he said this in Mark chapter 2, verse 17. He says, "They that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." He had to tell the people that they were spiritually sick indeed. And in this instance, he warned them against the sickness of hypocrisy. Now, there were, of course, people in the crowd who were guilty of hypocrisy, and naturally, they would not like to hear what the Lord Jesus Christ said. Now, all servants of the Lord Jesus Christ, preachers and teachers of the word, must necessarily follow the example of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We must speak the truth. We must speak plainly, and we must speak truthfully. People might not feel comfortable about what we say, and they might even resent what we say. And in the course of saying what we are saying, we might hurt people and cause people to dislike us. But friends, we must speak the truth. But we must speak the truth in love. Now, for example, when we are correcting the errors of people, our intention must not be to put people down. Our intention must be to correct them and to bring them to the Lord, so that their fellowship with the Lord will be restored, so that they will be growing in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That must be our intention. Now, this morning, let's be warned against these two pitfalls. Yes, first of all, the pitfall of hypocrisy. Number two, the pitfall of the fear of man. The Lord Jesus Christ warns us against these two pitfalls. Number one, hypocrisy. Number two, the fear of man. So let's first of all be warned against the pitfall of hypocrisy. All right, the first verse again. In the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trod one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, "Beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees," which is hypocrisy. Leaven. Now, what is leaven? Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Now, leaven is yeast, all right? And you know how amazing yeast would work. You just introduce a little bit of leaven, a little bit of yeast into a lump of dough. It's amazing how big the lump of dough can swell into. Yes? And leaven is used here figuratively. Here, leaven refers to hypocrisy, namely the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. Now, the Pharisees were a very, very religious people during the days of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on this earth. And they were tithe, and they were tithe very, very diligently. They were even tithe their herbs, such as cumin, and then anise, and mint. Can you imagine how they were tithe? Let's say they had 10 leaves of mint, 10 peppermint leaves. And you know how many leaves they were tithe? They were tithe one of them. You see, they were tithe to that very extent. So religious they were in tithing. And then they were very religious in fasting and in praying. Now, the problem with them is that when they fasted, they wanted people to know that they were fasting. And so they were put on faces that were very sad, faces that were serious, to indicate to people that they were fasting. And when they prayed, they also wanted people to know that they were praying. And so they would stand in some prominent street corners where everybody could see them, and they would pray. But friends, in reality, they were very hypocritical. And this was what the Lord had to say about them in Matthew 23:23. This was what he said of them. Matthew 23:23. Good for us to look at this first, but keep your finger at Luke chapter 12. Matthew 23:23. The Lord Jesus Christ says this: "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites!" You see, the Lord told them in the face, "Hypocrites, for ye pay tithes of mint and anise and cumin." These are garden herbs. They were tithes, even the herbs. But you have omitted the weightier matters of the law. Well, what are the weightier matters of the law? Judgment, meaning to say justice or equity or fairness, mercy and faith. These ought ye to have done and not to leave the other undone. Now, if people are sincerely religious, they must not omit the weightier matters of the law, the more important things of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. Now, you take the matter of mercy, something the Pharisees did not show. For example, they were very, very religious in observing the Sabbath day. The Jews, of course, understand that the Sabbath is the holy day, it is the day of rest. And so, when the Lord Jesus Christ healed the people on the Sabbath day, they regarded Jesus as working on the Sabbath day. You heal somebody, you have worked, and therefore you have broken the Sabbath. They didn't know how to show mercy. And so the Lord had to counter their accusation by saying this: but if one of your animals, such as a goat or a sheep, were to fall into a ditch, what would you not do to help your animal? Would you not show mercy to your animal to pull your animal out of the ditch? You would do that. You would show mercy to your animals, but here I show mercy to a human being, and you are coming up against me. So you see how hypocritical they were. They didn't know how to show mercy while they tried to observe the laws. In actual fact, they were not trying to observe the laws. They were in actual fact trying to observe the traditions that they had invented over time. Now, so, but what was worse than not showing mercy was when the Lord healed a sick man, a man who had a withered hand. They accused him of breaking the Sabbath. Of course they did that. But at the same time, on the Sabbath day, they were plotting to kill the Lord Jesus Christ. So, to heal somebody on the Sabbath day was wrong. To plot to kill somebody on the Sabbath day was right. You see how hypocritical they were. And so the Lord Jesus, so the Word of God records this for us in Matthew chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. If you are quick enough, please refer to these two verses, Matthew 12, 13 and 14. Okay, Matthew 12, 13 and 14. All right, I read for you. Then says Jesus to the man who had a withered hand, stretch forth a hand. And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole like as the other. But look at the Pharisees. Then the Pharisees went up and held a council against him, how they might destroy him. And all this took place on the Sabbath day. So you see how hypocritical the Jewish religious leaders were, the scribes and the Pharisees. Then you look at the hypocritical sense of showing filial piety. In the book of Mark, or in the other Gospels, we also find this same record. Yes, the Lord Jesus said this to them: full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. You see, they were trying to keep their tradition, about 600 of them, which the Jewish religious leaders had invented over time. For Moses said, now this is the law, Moses said this in the law, the Ten Commandments: honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curses father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, according to your tradition, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is korban, that is to say, a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. That was the teaching of the Pharisees. Yes, if a man, let's say, had dedicated whatever he had to give unto the Lord, that sum of money would be regarded as korban. So, the teaching by the Pharisees, from the Pharisees, was this: the man who had dedicated this amount of money to God was not obligated to take this money to take care of his parents. You see, that was their idea of filial piety. They had no sense of mercy at all. In this case, no mercy to whom? To even parents. The Word of God says, honor thy father and thy mother. But here they say, you are under no obligation to take care of them because you have done something very, very holy. Yes, you dedicated that sum of money to God, and therefore you are not obligated to take care of your parents. My dear friends, you see how warped their thinking was, how hypocritical they were. Friends, It is absolutely important that we know God's laws. We must know Lord's laws. The Ten Commandments, of course, we must know. And we must know our doctrines well. Sure, we must. And we must stand up for the truth, and we must defend the truth. And that's absolutely true. And then when we see errors and false teachings, we must not hesitate to expose them. We must do that. And then we must earnestly contend for the faith, because we have been exhorted, commanded to do so. Earnestly contend for the faith. But friends, let us not forget the weightier matters of the law. Let's not forget to show love and mercy. And I dare say that one weakness that we had in our Bible Presbyterian churches in Singapore was that we did not show enough love while we profess to be very pure and very in our doctrines and our beliefs. All right. Now I'm talking about the time when I was in Singapore in those days before I came over here. So what has been happening in the last 20 years or so, I am not in the know. But when I was there, this was what I saw. Right? For many years, our churches hardly had any kind of a vibrant, lively visitation program that would encourage people in the faith. And then when it came to caring for the physical needs of members of our church, I tell you this, the care was very, very poorly managed. Love was lacking. There was no love at all. It was all very mechanical. And then the administrators of the program almost made the recipients of the benefits of the program look as if they were begging for money. You know how degrading it was. You know how much it would have caused the people to lose their dignity if they were made to feel as if they were begging for money from the church. My dear friends, these are lessons that we must learn. Yes, here in Sydney Bible Presbyterian Church. We must take action as soon as we can and as much as we can to show love and mercy. Otherwise, my dear friends, we can become very, very hypocritical. Pure in doctrine, but very, very lacking in love. Poor in love, lacking in love. That must not be the case, right? If that ever happens to us, we can actually label ourselves as hypocrites. Yes. Now, the Pharisees were hypocritical in that they were very judgmental. They were always finding fault. Yes, they would search for small faults in other people, but they neglected to see the big faults in themselves. So, for example, let's say on the Sabbath day, when they saw people, let's say they saw a person walking more than 1 kilometer. A kilometer would roughly be equivalent to what is known as the Sabbath day journey. All right. Then the Pharisees would accuse them of breaking the Sabbath because they had walked more than 1 kilometer on the Sabbath day. Now, by the way, the Sabbath day is not a ruling given in the Word of God. It was just an invention of the Pharisee, what is known as the Sabbath day journey. So it is a concept of the that was part of the tradition of the Jewish people. Yes, but friends, while they pointed their finger at people who broke the Sabbath apparently because they walked more than 1 kilometer, they, on the other hand, was very, very soft when it came to hating people. They didn't think that it was really very bad to hate people. They didn't think that they had broken the laws when they hated people. So much so that the Lord Jesus Christ had to correct this erroneous thinking that they had. And the Lord Jesus had to tell them this: you don't actually have to take a knife up to plunge into somebody's back to have committed murder. If you have so much hated somebody in your heart, you have already committed murder. You have already broken the laws. So the Lord wanted them to understand this truth. And the truth is, these Pharisees, yes, they saw only the mote in other people's eye, but they could not see the big beam in their own eyes. And so the Lord says this to them: why beholdest thou the mote, the small speck that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thy own eye? You don't see the big plank in your own eye. Now, friends, let's not look at the mote in other people's eye and forget that we have a big beam in our eyes. So I ask you and ask myself, are we guilty of pharisaical hypocrisy? What kind of people are we, my dear friends? Are we people who talk about prayer, but then we don't pray? Yes. Are we people who want to belong to the church, but we hardly attend the church? Are we people who say that that we must tithe, it's the right thing to tithe, but then we don't tithe? Are we people who say that the Bible is the word of God, but we hardly read it, let alone obey it? Are we such people? My dear friends, I can ask many, many more questions. If we are guilty of any of this, my dear friends, you can say that, or you and I can say that we are hypocrites. Now, hypocrisy is like leaven. It is like yeast, as I said, a small amount introduced into a lump of dough will cause the lump to swell to something that is quite big. Yes, likewise, as the Jews exalt the hypocrisy of the Pharisees, their whole character will be infected. Their whole character will be infected by this terrible disease called hypocrisy. And friends, a little hypocrisy evident in us can destroy our testimony. It can destroy our witness. Now you take, for example, myself. Let's say from the pulpit here, I preach the Ten Commandments. I say, thou shalt not covet. I preach against covetousness. Then one day, I decide to take a long journey to another town, far away from Sydney. All right, maybe I go to Darwin. And then I know that people from here would never go to Darwin, so here I am in Darwin. Then I queue up in a news agency to buy what? To buy Toto. And then somebody, or somebody's friend, or a friend of somebody from this church sees me. And then he reports this matter back to our folks here in Sydney. What will happen to my ministry, my dear friends? Every time I speak here, stand up here to speak, thou shalt not covet. I say, what a terrible hypocrite. Isn't it true? Yeah, so our testimony will be destroyed right away if there is evidence of hypocrisy in us. My dear friends, let's guard against this little leaven called hypocrisy. We can destroy our testimony. Yes, we are supposed to show forth Christ, but how can we show forth Christ by our hypocrisy? We turn people away from the Lord Jesus Christ by our hypocrisy. We might even turn our loved ones away from the Lord Jesus Christ because of our hypocrisy. It was Sunday, and then there was this boy playing football in the front yard. The father of this boy was one who was very, very religious about observing the Lord's Day, Sunday. And he wanted his neighbor to understand that he was a very, very religious observer of the Lord's Day. So from within his house, he shouted to his son, "Son, don't play football in the front yard. Go play football in the backyard. Today is the Lord's Day." And the son replied, "Hey, Dad, does playing ball in the backyard instead of the front yard make today not the Lord's Day?" So friends, you know, we can be stumbling blocks to our loved ones if we are seen as hypocrites by them. So, my dear friends, let's be very, very watchful, lest our hypocrisy turns people away from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let me talk to those who could be turned away from the church. I hope none will be turned away from the church, but there could be people who might be turned away from the church because they perceive that some members in the church are hypocritical. Yes, if you are thinking in that manner, I urge you to just do a little bit of self-check. All right? Let me give you this little illustration. There was this farmer who didn't want to have anything to do with this church. This particular church, because as far as he was concerned, the church was made up of hypocrites. And he could always name two or three of them who in his eyes were seen as hypocrites by him. So one day, the pastor of the church decided to visit this pig farmer. He came to the farmer and said, "Mr. Farmer, I want to buy a pig from you." The farmer said, "All right, welcome. By all means, pick your choice." And so this pastor then picked one pig that was a very, very skinny-looking pig. He said, "I want that pig, the skinny-looking pig." And then the farmer said, "No, pastor, why do you choose that pig? Why do you buy other pigs? Buy the bigger pig, that one, the fat one." But no, the pastor was very, very insistent, and so the transaction was made. So he took hold of the small, little, sickly pig, and he said to him, "Now I'm going to bring this pig and tell all my friends, that's the kind of pig you raise." Yes. But the farmer said, Pastor, but that's not fair. It's not fair. That one single pig is not representative of all my pigs. This little pig that you see, the sickly one, is just something that is very unusual. It is a freak. Our pigs are all very, very good. But the pastor said, I'm only following your example of condemning the whole church just because a few of them appear to be stunted in the faith. Yes. The farmer, of course, got the point. I trust you get the point, my dear friends. Yes, some people might appear to be hypocritical, appear only, but in actual fact, they might not be. But they might appear to be. Let them not turn you away from the church. I trust that you will still continue to come and worship with us. Next, let us be warned against the pitfall of the fear of man. We talk about one pitfall, the fear, the hypocrisy. The other pitfall is the fear of men. The Lord says in verse 4, And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more than they can do. Be not afraid of them that kill the body, but after that can't do anything to you. Of course, the Lord Jesus Christ was talking about men. Don't fear men. Do not fear men. Proverbs 29:25 says, The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be saved. The fear of man bringeth a snare. In other words, the fear of man is a trap. It traps you. Yes, the fear of man is a trap because it prevents people from coming to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Some people are fearful of coming to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior because they ask these two questions. What will people say of me if I come to believe? What will they do to me if I come to believe? My dear friends, those were the questions that I asked of myself when I was approached by my Sunday school teacher to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I was then in year 5. Yes, Sunday school after Sunday school, my Sunday school teacher was very kind. He brought me to one corner, and then he presented the gospel to me. Of course, I knew the gospel. And he asked me to come and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Was I frightened? I was very frightened. Not because of the question that he asked me, but I was very frightened of what my father and what my grandmother would say of me and do to me. Yes, I was very, very afraid of them, of what they would say to me and do to me. And as a result of that, I stopped going to church. I was very, very fearful that my Sunday school teacher would ask me the same question. So I didn't go to church for the next 7 years. All right? So, friends, the fear of man can prevent us from coming to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And the fear of man is a trap, because it traps you into not confessing the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, people ask that question. They have professed themselves to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, but they do not want to confess the Lord publicly through baptism. So they say, they will ask themselves again these two questions. What will they do to me? What will men say to me? What will they do to me? I dare say that there were many believers, people who professed the believers in Singapore in those days when I was back in Singapore, who did not dare to come to confess Jesus as Lord and Savior through holy baptism because they were very, very fearful of what the parents would say to them, what the parents would do to them. They were fearful, some were fearful that their parents would disown them or their parents would cut off their material support for them. And so they did not dare to come to confess Jesus as Lord and Savior through holy baptism. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ has this warning for us, if we fear men. All right, he says this in Matthew 10:32-33, Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever therefore shall deny me before men, him will I also deny my Father which is in heaven. If we confess him, he will confess us. If we deny him, he will deny us. My dear friends, so whom would we want to fear? Man or God? Now the fear of man is a trap in that it prevents us from honoring the Lord. In fact, it causes us to dishonor the Lord. Now this actually happened to even a great man like the Apostle Peter, something that we talked about last Lord's Day at the SBS, right? Peter, Peter had been an apostle, serving as an apostle for a good number of years now. And at that time, what happened was the center of missions was no longer the city of Jerusalem, but the center of missions then was the city of Antioch, where Paul and Silas were located. Then one day, Peter came and visited Antioch. Now, in the city of Antioch, there was a very, very vibrant church. It was made up of Gentiles and it was made up of Jews. Now, when Peter came, he was very happy to be there, and he fellowshiped with the Gentile Christians in the city of Antioch. He ate with them. But then the word of God tells us that when certain came from James, certain came from Jerusalem, meaning Jews, Jewish believers came from the city of Jerusalem to visit Antioch. When Peter saw them, he got scared, he got frightened. He then very quickly separated himself from the Gentile believers. And he was a bad influence, because this man, Barnabas, who was a missionary partner of the Apostle Paul, also separated himself from the Gentiles, because he followed the example of Peter. So what do you expect Paul to do? My dear friends, Paul was not fearful of men, so he rebuked Peter in the face. He withstood Peter in the face. All right, I read you what the Lord, what Paul said to Peter. All right, Galatians 2, 11 and 12. Maybe you should look at these two verses. You see, these were strong words given by the Apostle Paul to Peter. All right, Galatians 2, 11 and 12. All right, Galatians 2, 11 and 12. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him in the face. To the face, I confronted him, because he was to be blamed. For before that, certain came from James. He did eat with the Gentiles. Before those believing Jews came from Jerusalem, from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, when these Jews came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. So whom did he fear? He feared men. He feared them of the circumcision. He feared the Jews. That's why he separated himself from the Gentiles. Now, you know, Peter did something that was very, very dishonoring to the Lord. Yes, because he feared men. Now, if Paul didn't correct him, then people would think that Peter did the right thing and that Paul was supporting him. Now, if that was the case, all right, if Peter and Paul did, Peter did the right thing and Paul supported him, then, you know, you and I today might have to become Jews, first of all, before we can become Christians. Did you realize that? This will be have been handed down. Then we must become Jews, first of all, before we become Christians. And what would be more serious was that Peter and Paul would be perpetuating a heresy that for anybody to come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved, he must first of all be circumcised. You see? That would be a heresy. Salvation would then be by works and not by faith. So you see what a threat the fear of man can be. It can cause us to dishonor the name of the one true living God. It not only prevents us from honoring the Lord, it actually causes us to dishonor the name of the Lord. Then the fear of man is a threat in that it prevents us from witnessing. For giving the gospel out. We are fearful to give the gospel out because we are fearful of men, fearful of our boss, so we do not give the gospel to the boss. Yes, fearful of this person, fearful of that person, fearful of giving the gospel to our friends, for fear that we offend our friends and then our friendship would end there. So, because of the fear of men, because we ask ourselves these two questions, what will they say of me, what will they do to me, we are prevented from witnessing. So, you see, the fear of man is a threat. Yes? Now, what is the remedy for these two pitfalls, hypocrisy and the fear of man? Let's first deal with the fear of man. What is the remedy for this pitfall? Now, the Lord gives us the answer in verse 4 and verse 5 of Luke chapter 12. The Lord gives the answer. Luke 12, 4 and 5. Let me read these two verses for you. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Now, who has the power to destroy the body and cause that body to go into hell? Who? Of course, God. Fear God. Yes, fear God and not fear man. Yes, what can man do to us? What man can do to us is bodily harm. Bodily harm. But God can cause the soul and the body to go into hell, where the soul and body will be tormented day and night for all eternity. Now, when we learn to fear the Lord, we'll learn not to fear man. And that's the truth. You fear God, you'll not fear man. Yes, great heroes of the faith have set us the example. Hey, look at the Apostle Paul. Paul was fearless in his service unto the Lord. He finished two missionary journeys, and then after he completed his third missionary journey, each of the journeys possibly took about 3 or 4 years or so. So we are talking about maybe about the 12 or 15 year period or so. After he finished his third missionary journey, he was very, very determined to go to the city of Jerusalem to celebrate the Feast of Pentecost. He knew that he was going to walk into the lion's den, because he knew that he was going to be persecuted by the Jews. Did he shrink from that? No, he still went. He was fearless because he feared the Lord. And a verse in Acts chapter 20, verses 22 to 24, we read his testimony. I read this for you, all right? You don't have to refer to these three verses for the sake of time. Let me read this for you. Acts 20, 22 to 24. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, except that the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me. See, I'm not fearful of anything. None of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto me, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. The Apostle Paul had learned to fear God. Ever since when? Ever since the day he came face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus, when he was converted. Yes, the word of God records for us that he trembled. He fell to the ground, he trembled. As of that day, he learned to fear the Lord. And it was because of this fear of God, and not the fear of man, and without that caused him to drive out the fear of man, that enabled him to serve mightily as a servant of the one true living God. He was not trapped by the fear of man. Then let us fear the Lord, for in this fear we have much comfort. You see, when we fear the Lord, he provides us with his very special providential care. It is not that God's providence doesn't work every day. It works every day, everywhere. But God gives us his very, very special providential care if we fear him. Now, we know this because you look at verse 6. All right, look at verse 6 and verse 7. God provides for us his very special providential care if we fear him. 6 and 7. The Lord Jesus Christ says here, "Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 farthings? And not one of them is forgotten before God. But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows." Yes, this is the assurance given to us by the one true living God about his special providential care for us. Yes, not a single sparrow falls from the sky without the Lord's permission. We are of far, far greater value than sparrows in the sky. We are people whom the Lord Jesus Christ has died for. He came and saved us. We are precious to him. And the word of God here assures us that not a single hair from our body can fall out from our body without his permission. My dear friends, will he not protect us therefore against those who want to harm us? Surely he will. Yes, no harm will come upon us except that the Lord permits that harm to come upon us. So fear God, and then you will drive out the fear of man. Now then, what is the remedy for the pitfall of hypocrisy? Again, it is to fear the Lord. Proverbs 16 verse 6 says, "By mercy and truth iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord men depart from evil." You fear the Lord, you depart from evil. You fear the Lord, you depart from the evil of hypocrisy. Yes, when we fear the Lord, we will want to be clean. When we fear the Lord, we want to be transparent. When we fear the Lord, we want people to understand and know that our yea is yea, our nay is nay. And that when we fear the Lord, one thing we will surely do is that we will walk the talk. We don't just talk, but we walk the talk. And that when we fear the Lord, we know that we will fear the Lord, because when we fear the Lord, we actually realize that we can't hide anything from Him. Yes, the day will come when everything will be exposed. The Lord Jesus Christ says this to us. On the day of judgment, everything will be made very, very clear. Verse 2 and verse 3. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. My dear friends, everything will be very, very made clear someday. Alright? So, fear the Lord. Know that if we are hypocritical, He knows that we are hypocritical. Everything will be made very, very clear on that day. So, friends, let's fear the Lord. If we are unrepentant hypocrites, do you think that we are better than the unrepentant thief? Do you think that we are better than the unrepentant adulterer or the unrepentant murderer? If we are unrepentant hypocrites, what do you think? Better? No better, my dear friends. The Lord says this to all of us. If we are unrepentant, He says this to us. I tell you, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. If we are guilty of hypocrisy and we refuse to repent from our hypocrisy, this is the warning given to us by God, by the Lord. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. So, should we not fear Him who hath power to cast the unrepentant into hell? My dear friends, we must fear Him. So, beware of the leaven of hypocrisy. A little leaven will leaven the whole lump. It infects our entire character. Now, hypocrisy is manifested by our being self-righteous, our being judgmental, our being fault-finding. Let us be very careful that we only see the mote in other people's eye, but fail to see the big beam that is in our eyes. Yes. Sure, we must be pure in doctrines. We must be, expose those who are teaching untruth. Yes, sure, we must defend the faith. But friends, let us remember to show the weightier matters of the law, even mercy. The challenge is for us to be seen as being very, very caring people. Otherwise, my dear friends, we can be seen as hypocritical. And let us also beware of the other spiritual pitfall, the fear of man. The fear of man cripples us spiritually. It prevents us from believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. It prevents us from confessing Him. It prevents us from being effective witnesses for the Lord. So what's the remedy? The remedy is the fear of the Lord. If we fear the Lord, we will not be hypocritical. If we fear the Lord, instead of asking these two questions, what will a man say to me? What will man do to me? We'll be asking, what will God say to me? What will God do to me? My dear friends, if we fear the Lord, we definitely will be saved from hypocrisy. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we pray that You will teach us to love You and to serve You. Lord, we pray that You will help us so that we will not fall into these two terrible sins, the sin of hypocrisy and the sin of the fear of men. Help us, O Lord God, to fear only You, the one true living God, who knows everything, who sees everything. Lord, we know that in many ways we are hypocritical because we do not practice what we preach. Father, we realize that we want to be very pure in our doctrines, pure in our faith, and that it is incumbent on us to defend the faith, but yet we know, Lord God, that we have not been loving enough, not merciful enough. Lord, teach us so that we may be more loving and be more merciful. Lord, we pray that You'll be very gracious, cleanse us of all our sins. Teach us, O Lord God, to do that which is right and pleasing to You, so that we may be able to glorify You. In Jesus' blessed name we pray and give thanks. Amen.